The scripture lesson today is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you, Sue. Ray?
I was originally asked to talk about what God means to me personally. I was going to talk for 2 hours, but Bob told me to cut it down to 5 minutes. So. It's a very personal subject, but God is infinite and never changing. But throughout your life, your perception of him changes. When you're a little kid, you learn from your parents. And although my parents were not churchgoers per se, they were believers. And they told me what they thought God meant. And as you get older, as a teenager, you kind of think, well, they were wrong about the Easter Bunny and the Father Christmas. So maybe they're wrong about this, what God means. So as a teenager, I was not such a believer. I was skeptical, shall I say. I guess as a lot of teenagers are. And I was born as a tweener between the two wars, World War I and World War II. And during World War II, for 4 years I was in London, and every morning we get up and say, "Thank God I'm still alive." This went on for 4 years, and finally, peace came, and I believed in God. I think you believe in what you experience more than what somebody told you. When you see the sunset, the sunrise, and all good things, you believe. And my time is running out. And then went in the service when I was 18, and not by choice. And they sent me to Palestine, and there, among the Muslims, we were the intruders, okay? We were looked upon as the enemy. But it occurred to me that people are the same, are the same all over. And we got to know them, and they got to know us. And we got along just fine. We played a little street soccer. We always had a wives and children were. And they were very much like us. And then after that, I came home. And there again, God talked to me in a different way. And every year, he was the same. I was different. Then we came over to America. My father came over with us, and he was sick. And he went back in order to get his medical insurance. And I stayed for 2 years over there with my sister, who, by the way, had married a GI. She had married an airman over in London. And she came over here. That's how I came over. And I was here for 2 years, and I sent money over there to help him support them. And finally, I went back, and after 2 years, and he died over there. And then 2 years later, my mother and I came back over through my sister and my brother-in-law. They sponsored us, and I lived with my mother. And there again, God had a different meaning to me as time went on. And finally, my mother died, and I got married. Well, I got married actually before my mother died. And there again, I was married in this church 55 years ago. And God had a different meaning to me then than he did before. But he was constant. He is infinite. But it was me that was changing. But when you live next door to the parsonage for 30 years, you get to know something of the way of God. I was walking distance to church. I was in several programs. And my beliefs changed. And I find that my time is running out, and I've been at this church 55 years, and I believe more than ever in the power of God. Thank you.
I wanted to say today what an impact older people had on my life starting as a little boy. And this church community is such an important place for kids to relate to older people and learn how to relate to older people, because kids go to school with kids. They've got teachers who are authority figures. But they don't have sweet little old ladies, and they don't have sweet little old guys. And the church is just a wonderful place to meet people of all ages and be around them. And I found that so important to me growing up, because they patted me on the head and told me I was a good boy and, you know, stuff like that. But they made me feel welcome, and they made me feel important, and they made me feel a part of things and like I had potential and I could do things. And it wasn't just my relatives, and it wasn't just my neighbors. It was Jesse Adams, and it was Ruby Woolston, who ended up leaving the church because when I was 17 or 18, in the children's youth group, we decided we should have a cross in the church, and she thought that was pretty Catholic, so she got mad and left. But before that, she was nice to me. Neighbors, my grandparents were my neighbors, Pearl and Harry Hudson, and what a privilege that was to grow up next to them. And we would winnow, pass through the wheat and wreck Metzinger's wheat and make little trails, and they'd get all mad. But it was a thrill, and as every year goes by, I realize how much more important that was, that opportunity to grow up next to my paternal grandparents. But so we were close. And in my early 20s, I was just starting, Patty and I were just starting a family, and I stopped in one rainy day, and I loved going onto their front porch because with the windows open, you could smell whatever was growing outside, the honeysuckle or the snowball bushes or the lilacs or whatever, and also the dead flies. And it just had this very peculiar smell, but it was their porch smell, and I just enjoyed walking up on their porch. But so I walked up on this rainy day. I was in my 20s, and my grandfather was sitting there with a pad of paper, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, nothing." And I said, "Well, what's that in your hand?" He goes, "Oh, I'm just writing a poem." I thought that was unusual. And I guess he was feeling melancholy. He would have been in his mid-70s. And I think he was feeling melancholy. And he wrote this poem. There's two. Almost like a haiku. Rain. Teardrops from heaven falling gently to the ground. Angels weeping for loved ones left behind. Well, I got done with that. And then I read his next one, which was Time. Time. Sunrise slowly moving east to west. How many mortals born today? How many laid to rest? And I realized that he was sad, and he was worried about the end of his life. And I said, "Grandpa, we need you." And he said, "What good am I? What good am I?" And I said, "You're important to this family, and everybody loves you. You're a gentle man. You're a kind man. And you're a good man. And that's so important for us." And I guess that meant a little bit to him. I don't know. But he gave me the poem. So I took the poem away, and I remember that day. But it reminds me that as we all get a little bit older, and well, I'm starting to get a little bit older, you face your mortality. And when your kids are growing up or whatever you've been doing for your career, when that starts to wane, you might wonder what your purpose is. Your purpose is to be. God said, "I am. I am. You are. You are in being." And that's very important to the people around you. It's very important to the kids. So you may not have your physical powers as you get older. You may not have your mental powers as you get older. But you can be at the peak of your power for kindness. You can be at the peak of your power for gentleness. You can be at the peak of your power for telling the truth and for taking a stand. And you can just be a wonderful mentor and example for kids. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just reminding you how important it is. And with that, I'll encourage you also, we need you we need you in Sunday school. Not twisting your arm today, but someday that clipboard's going to go around again. And if you can share one Sunday or three or four Sundays with the kids, I think that you'll get as much out of it. Maybe you'll get more out of it than the kids will get. But when they're older, they'll remember back, and they'll tell their friends that their teacher was 147 years old. And it will be important to their lives. Thank you.